Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Everybody, welcome to a March Madness edition of Bill Roten on Sports. I'm here on this rainy Sunday afternoon here upstate, that's all I'll say. A lot of American flags flying. Increasingly gives me the creeps. But anyway, I'm up here and joined by my co-hosts, two co-hosts. In Brooklyn, the great Jamal Murphy. Murph,
I'm good, Bill. You know, just watching this March Madness. We're going to get into it, but, you know, watching the last two black coaches standing. And it was a kind of a lopsided affair.
A rout. And, of course, holding down in Manhattan, the great Steve Wilson. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Bill, J. Murph. Good to be with you again, and especially during this March Madness time. You know, COVID, but they're pulling it off. So I have to, you know, give props where it's due. So props to all of these players and coaches for doing their thing.
I don't know. I mean.
Well, you're right. It's not quite that simple. But
really? I mean, you know, it's kind of bizarre, really. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, man. I don't know what to say. I mean, we're watching and these young kids, they playing, but, you know, I mean, it's clearly all about, I mean, it's about money. You know, I mean, I guess about competition. What do you guys think about this? I mean, Steve, you mentioned you want to give them props. Why don't we start with you? You know, like the morality of March Madness. I mean, you could argue that the madness is playing basketball in a pandemic. In Indiana, of all places, probably one of the conservative states, the home of the ex-vice president, you know, I mean, and everything that entails, and people in denial about, you know, anyway, so, okay, let's talk about giving them props.
No, well, certainly all of those things you mentioned are completely relevant, and you're right, you can't overlook it. I guess I'm thinking in terms of you know, what these, particularly with these young players, that, you know, they're playing, it seems to be, especially in the round we're watching now in the last couple of rounds, but I think throughout the tournament, they've been, you know, just playing up to their level. Frankly, I mean, with all of the concerns you mentioned, we've talked about it before, I thought, man, this is going to be really bad for the morale of these young players, particularly. And as we've seen early on in the tournament, like in the case of UVA, where they had to miss a game. But honestly, I did not expect the competition to be this high. My thought was that the players would be so adversely affected mentally by all of this. But I guess if they're going to do this, go on with this tournament, and it seems, I guess, as as best that could be done is being done in terms of how they, you know, it's all in the bubble and, you know, I guess similar to what the NBA did. It's about as close as they can get to it anyway. I mean, honestly, in the beginning, I probably would have, if I were the commissioner, said, I said, no tournament this year because we're still in this thing, in this COVID thing. But, you know, so I'm not, I don't want to say I'm really endorsing the idea of having, for future purposes, doing it like this again, because I really don't think we should be. But here we are, and I you know, so far, it seems that they've mitigated the worst. So, and the players have stepped up, and in spite of everything, being away from home, from campus, and man, they're playing their butts off.
Hey, but Murph, didn't we see that at the NBA bubble? I mean, in terms of competition, because that's the one thing that struck me about the NBA bubbles, that they were really hooping. I mean, yeah. You know, that they were really playing. It was sensational basketball in the context of like that bubble. So, I mean, what do you think about everything, the morality of it? You've written some great pieces for the Undefeated. You know, your piece about the women was sensational. Your piece about the black coaches was sensational. So what's your overall take, the morality of it, but also the competition of it?
Well, Bill, I'll answer that in a second, but first a word from our sponsor, Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all sports action. March Madness is upon us. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Got that, Bill? So head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Yeah. All right, we got the bill endorsement. I like it. I think the bubble, you know, yeah, you're right. The NBA bubble showed that, you know, As you said many times, you know, it's basically getting back to the core elements of the sport. All these kids are used to playing, you know, not in front of fans, you know, playing hard no matter who's watching or how few people practice. Obviously, is where most kids get better. So the intensity has been there, you know, in the NCAA tournament. And remember, they played all season in front of no fans and that type of thing. So they, you know, they're pretty used to it now. And they played all season to get to this point, to be able to play in this type of tournament. So, yeah, I mean, despite the fact that they're being exploited by the NCAA, which is always the case, right?
How's the weather?
and that's not new to this year, right? I mean, they've been exploiting them for 100 years. So, you know, despite all that.
I know the NCAA was probably saying, thank God Rutgers is out. We ain't got to hear from, what's his name? What's the brother?
Yeah, Geo Baker. Yeah,
thank God. Thank God we got rid of him.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, all things considered, you know, it's not a great, you know, the NCAA, we know what the issues there. We need to keep trying to, you know, change things as far as that goes. One good thing about this year's tournament is that their treatment of the women got a little exposed. So that, you know, so maybe that helps the women's game in the future. You know, even the women's, you know, we all talked about the weight room, but I heard, I think the former coach of Notre Dame, I want to say Muffet McGraw.
Yeah. Muffet McGraw. Yeah.
She said, you know, I didn't even realize. Yeah. She pointed to the court, the differences of, you know, the men play on, you can't tell where they're playing because they play on a March Madness court with a decal and, you know, so everything looks the same. Then you look at the women's tournament. Why couldn't they do the same thing for the women? I mean, is it really that hard or expensive to do the same thing for the women? No, you have them play it on random courts, so it doesn't even look as professional. So,
right. You know. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's so much to unpack here before we get to the level of competition, but the inequity. It seems like this year, this whole pandemic year, has just exposed so much inequity between wealth, black wealth, white wealth, access to medical treatment, access. I mean, during the pandemic, you know, when a lot of white folks or wealthy folks were escaping to their second and third homes,
right?
And I guess it even started with Hurricane Katrina. So, and now the microcosm of basketball, women, the disparity in treatment of women. I mean, I don't know. What do you think we're going to take away from the disparity? Do you think that, people are just going to say, well, you know, better to be on the plus side than on the minus side? Do you think this is all going to make an impact in terms of trying to equal the playing field? Or do you think we become so anesthetized to the inequity that people are just saying, hey, so be it, survival of the fittest?
I think, well, first of all, I give credits to these student athletes for, who was the player from Oregon? I can't remember her name, but it was her video that exposed us. So I give her credit for posting that, because that really, made everybody go, hey, wait a minute, but that has to continue. That kind of activism has to continue. So I think, what has come out of this past year with activism, that has to continue, particularly towards this issue. I mean, frankly, and I've been saying this for years, I would like to see the NCAA abolished because of what it's about, because of the exploitation. There's no question about that. Now, they seem to be capitulating towards some kind of reform or some kind of structure where student athletes can get, money for their name and likeness. But that remains to be seen. I don't think we should hold our breath that they'll do the right thing. I don't think they're compelled by any kind of moral compass, that's for sure.
Right.
But I think that the activism must continue until things can be set right. And Congress at some point has to step in. Unfortunately, those good old boys in Congress, sit on the board of directors of, whatever nonprofits or country clubs, the same as these NCAA guys. So, but that has to change too, because the NCAA is not accountable to anybody. So they can do whatever they want. So, but I think the activism has to continue in the meantime.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing, again, before we get to the competition, do you guys think, and I was thinking about this earlier today, everybody's talking about the fans and no fans, and people said we missed the fans. Do you guys think that fans have learned their lesson in terms of, I know everybody's talking about, oh, we want the distractions back, voice of distraction, but in terms of civility, if you're on social media and you see how fans roast players, fans kill coach, do you think fans have really learned their lesson? Do you think that they're going to come back any more humble? And Steve, I mean, as a musician, I know it's kind of similar thing. I mean, in terms of audiences not, gradually coming back to venues. Do you think that fans, as audience players, have gained any more of an appreciation of either the athletes or the musicians or the practitioners, or basically, they say, listen, man, we missed a distraction.
I don't know. That remains to be seen, Bill. I think maybe in the short run. But, when we think about the stands being full again, which will probably happen starting in the fall, that's what it looks like now. And then, of course, fall with football and then from all the other sports after that. I think we're going to pick up. It's going to pick up what left off, quite honestly. I mean, Jay Murphy, you probably have another insight into that. But that's what my thought is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's going to pick up where it left off. I haven't seen any kind of like extra appreciation, from fans or, nicer, gentler fan as when it comes to the player. I think it's just getting worse, because it's really just following what's going on in the rest of society, where, the people are more blatantly racist ever since Trump was in office. So in turn, I feel like I'm seeing more vitriol towards the athlete, more, social media, attack, quick to attack an athlete. I am happy that at the way I see the athlete responding now, whereas the athlete, gets a message like that on social media and they'll just put it on blast. You know what I'm saying? Just put it out there. Who was it? Kofi Coburn, the big man from Illinois. He received some hate messages on social media. Someone called him a monkey, Illinois quote unquote fan called him a monkey, and he retweeted it, put it up there, so the guy's handle is there for everybody to see. And he says, I blame his parents, which is true. You know, that's who you blame. You blame the people who raised this guy to be like that. So I like what the athletes are doing in response.
Yeah, and the same thing happened to the player from Ohio State.
Right,
they
right.
lost in the first round. Liddell, yeah. Death threats that day.
Right.
So so yeah, to that point, you're right.
Here's something you didn't know about me. I'm going to dominate 2021. As soon as 2020 ended, I took a good look in the rearview mirror and said, F you, 2021. For me, it's all about self-care and love, which means I'm focusing on being happy and feeling relaxed. Mental clarity is the first step to my better life, which is why I've been taking down Sunday scary CBD gummy bears like candy. When my mind starts racing or I need to decompress, I simply pop two gummies, and in 20 minutes, I'm in max relaxed mode. And there's no risk to buy. The company offers a 100% lifetime money-back guarantee. If the product's not for you, that's okay. You'll get your money back. Sunday Scaries, in the stress-relieving business, not the stress-causing business. I got you 25% off to prove it. Visit SundayScaries.com and use my promo code BROS, BROS, for your discount. That's promo code BROS, BROS, for 25% off at SundayScaries.com. They're effing amazing, and you won't regret joining their squad.
On the court, the good news is that there'll be a black coach getting to the Elite Eight, Juwan Howard.
Yep.
For Michigan, unfortunately, our guy Leonard Hamilton was sort of the victim, and Florida State got trounced. And watching them, I felt the same way when I watched a couple years ago Deshaun Watson play Pat Mahomes. And I said, okay, I can just relax and watch the game. I don't have to pull for the black coach, right. There are two of them. But I did, I guess sentimentally, Leonard's been doing this for a long time. There's been a push to get him in the Hall of Fame. So I did hope that, Florida State could do it. But I guess that's the thing about sports, Jamal, is that you got to win. I mean, right. Not about sentimentality and all that. And they got blitzed.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of rooting for Leonard the same way. The one thing missing on his resume is a Final Four appearance or a championship. He's been recruiting great the last, five plus years. So I think he'll be right back in his situation next year. This season was his third consecutive Sweet 16. So he's been doing his thing, making Florida State a consistent program. Then, they run into Juwan Howard and Michigan, and Juwan Howard has, I can't see how he's not going to be coach of the year this season when it's all said and done. I mean, he's had these, Michigan playing like this all season. They weren't like a preseason top pick to be where they are. He kind of has like a pro mentality coming from the Miami Heat. They play tough, next man up. Remember, they're playing without their best offensive player all season coming into the tournament. And the way they took care of business against Florida State, you got to put them right up there with Gonzaga and Baylor, who are the front runners to win this thing. So they look great. And, unfortunately he had to beat Leonard, but at least, we got somebody with a good shot to make the Final Four, which would be, a big deal.
So Steve, what do you think? I mean, I know you've been watching the tournament. What do you think about our guy in Houston, Calvin Sampson, man? What do you think about our guy, Calvin Sampson, Houston, man? Everybody, what do you think about the tournament in general? But what about Houston?
Man, I'm glad to see him get back. I'm really glad to see him get back because, he kind of fell off of the radar for a minute after he left Oklahoma. And I think we're really seeing the quality of his coaching. I remember this team from, last season before the COVID scene hit, And you saw them coming on then, and especially with the player that the player they have that really he's the straw that stirs the drink for them, Giroux. But I'm really happy but I'm really happy to see him back, man, at this level, get to the Elite Eight, to remind people that he's in the upper echelon of all-time great coaches. and what he's meant to the game, and I think he's a great motivator, a great teacher. So this reminds sort of missed him when he was at Oklahoma, you know, or you know, if they didn't realize who he was then, they'll know who he is now. So I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Hey, Jamal, let's talk about the women too. Not the women too. Let's talk about the women first. Connecticut is looking all of a sudden unbelievable, you know.
Right.
But I'm still liking South Carolina. Let's talk about the women's tournament from the black perspective, and then let's just talk about ball.
From the black perspective, you got she's an OG now. She's the gold standard, Dawn Staley.
Yeah.
She's back in the Elite Eight with a win today, about 11-point win today over Georgia Tech. And this is her fourth Elite Eight with South Carolina, I think it's in the last 6 years. Okay. She's made two Final Fours. She's won a championship. So this would, if she can win, I think Tuesday, she'll be in her, it would be her third Final Four. She's been very outspoken about what's going on, both on the racial side and in terms of you know, gender equality also. So I mean, she's really, if not the spokesman, period. I don't, you know, black or white for the sport right now. You know, she's one of them, and you know, so they look good. You know, you gotta like her chances in terms of at least getting to the Final Four and maybe even winning a championship. Like you said, UConn has been great. They always have the best talent, so can't, you know, it's not a surprise. They, you know, they have the best recruiting class, seems like year after year. There's also another black woman coach who's in the Elite Eight, Arizona's coach,
Yeah.
Adia Barnes.
They look great.
Yeah, and I want to say, her father was a football player. I want to say his name was Peter Barnes.
Yeah, man, Arizona is looking tremendous.
Yeah.
Wait,
Yeah, no, they're looking great. So, and you know, it's been a very entertaining tournament. These girls can play, man. You know what I'm saying?
yeah.
So, you know, the future is bright. The future is bright for the WNBA. Future is bright in college. I mean, I just think, you know, give this sport 5 to 10 more years, it's going to be a whole different ball game.
Yeah. You know, interesting thing about Adia, you know, she played at University of Arizona, and then she played 7 years in the WNBA, played overseas. Yeah, she's the daughter of NFL player Pete Barnes, although he divorced Adia's mother when she was three. But yeah, so her dad played the NFL. So, you know, and again, very, very impressive, man. And Arizona's very impressive. So, you know, the women's tournament is great. Let me ask you guys, so what do you think will be the key? I mean, we start off the show talking about the women complaining about the facilities and court. You know, in terms of your own, you know, viewing habits, I know Jamal, you're a connoisseur of the game. What is it going to take to really break down sort of the gender barrier? I mean, I know that's sort of say, how do we end racism and how do we
Right.
end sexism, but do you think we're getting any closer to that? Anytime you see the blatant disparity of facilities, of exposure, and they're playing just as hard, if not harder, and they tend to be much more vocal, women players, and outspoken than the men.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, like you said, it's a complicated question in general in terms of, you know, there always probably will be some sort of barrier, but I think, you know, it'll begin to diminish as we move forward. Like you said, the women aren't playing around. Like they're, you know, we're at a point where they're going to call everything out. Like, you know, whatever kind of inequality is, you know, the NCAA feels like they can get away with, the women aren't playing around anymore. They're gonna call it out every chance they get, and that's only gonna help, you know, get rid of those barriers. As far as the game itself, man, you know, like the, you know, girls are out here, you know, it's just like when you look at the grassroots stuff, which I do a lot with the other podcast Up Next. You know, these girls are out here just like the boys, like, you know, fifth, you know, starting in third, fourth grade. You know, they got girls rankings, you know, rank, you know, we got fifth graders saying that they, you know, lists about who's the best in the country. You look at these girls skill-wise handling the basketball, it's no different from the young men. coming in the game. So the game is going to continue to grow. That's why, you know, I just feel like, you know, they're seizing on the momentum. The younger generation, the younger girls, they see what the women in the WNBA and college are, you know, speaking out and all this kind of stuff, demanding respect. That's only going to help the game in the long run. So, yeah, I think, you know, we're going to look back 10 years from now and we're going to, you know, we're going to see women's basketball be taken much more seriously, I think, in the future.
I guess just a couple of things before we leave. This has been kind of optimistic. Speaking of optimism, we've been kind of optimistic about the Black head coaches, saying like finally there's been some upgrades. Why don't you take us through some of the upgrades and changes? Begin with your guy, Shaka Smart.
We'll start with him. He, you know, Shaka had a great season this regular season, this season after some average to better than average seasons at Texas. He was already on the hot seat. He had struggled to get in the tournament a couple of times, missed the tournament once or twice, I think, in his 6 years there. I think he got him there five times. But unfortunately, he was 0-for-5 in the tournament when he got there. And especially this year, it was heartbreaking because, like I said, he had his best team. They won the Big 12 championship. And he was already, you know, he was on the hot seat for years before that. So the last thing he needed was to be upset in the first round. That's the only thing he needed to avoid was an upset in the first round. And of course, it happens. So I think he did. You know, he ends up taking the Marquette job. Marquette just had fired Wojciechowski from Duke, and Shaka Smart is a Wisconsin native. So Marquette, he can go back to Wisconsin. Marquette is a good program. It's in the Big East. They have a, you know, long history of success. They have tradition there. And it's a place where you can win and good players will come. Remember Dwayne Wade went there. They get, he'll be able to recruit there. So I think it's a good starting over for him. It's not gonna be easy. He's in the Big East. There's a lot of good coaches in the Big East. It's still gonna be a tough situation. But it was definitely time for him to go before they got to him.
Yeah, that's a shrewd move. Were you surprised to see that, Steve?
I was a little surprised that it happened this fast. So that says that they must have been in talks for a minute. But no, I agree with Jay Murph, you know, because just realizing he was on the hot seat. I was, as a VCU alum, I was happy to see him leave VCU because I thought he was really building something special there. And I thought that he could have had some really extraordinary recruiting had he just stayed another year. But I get it. You know, you got to strike while the iron is hot. So I get that move. And I was hoping the best for him when he went to Texas. But I don't think things have worked out. It seems to me he hasn't been able to really recruit in terms of keeping up with the level of recruits that, you know, he has to compete with in that conference. So I think the Big East is a better move for him and a great move for him to sort of start over, reboot and, you know, rebuild on his credibility.
Yeah. What's some of the other moves, Murph?
Well, how about today? We had some news today, which was very, that's surprising to me. You know, Indiana had an opening and they hired Mike Woodson to be the head coach of Indiana. Remember, he doesn't have college coaching experience. He's an NBA guy. But I guess, you know, just like Juwan Howard and Patrick Ewing,
right,
they're not giving him NBA opportunities. So he's like, hey, you know, let me look elsewhere. And then so Indiana, he played for Indiana. So there's a connection there. But there's so much pressure at Indiana that, you know, did he make the right decision? You guys tell me. I don't know.
It's not like he's replacing Bob. I put him in the same position as POTUS 45.
Yeah.
I don't say his name. I mean, we all knew he was an asshole, but now, right, you know.
Now it's documented. Yeah.
Now it's documented. But but again, it's not like they're coming off hellacious seasons. I mean, so and I'm wondering if, you know, everything is copycat. You think that a lot of these brothers and sisters are going to be getting opportunity to see what, like you said, Juwan Howard, mm-hmm, you know, NBA experience,
mm-hmm,
Patrick Ewing, NBA experience. I'm wondering if that's going to kind of be a trend, particularly as these people do well. You know, and I think Indiana could be a gold mine.
And I agree with that. You're right. I think if these guys do it with the NBA pedigree, I think it will continue to open some doors. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that can be a great thing because, you know, I think, well, in the college basketball, and the situation with black coaches is considerably better than it is with football. We know that.
Right.
Football is a long way to go.
Right.
So in relative terms, NCAA basketball is better. It could still be better, but I think this could help it even more. If these guys with the NBA pedigree can get in there and make some waves, I think it's going to open up the door even that much more.
Yeah, the thing I was thinking too, getting back to the Shaka Smart thing, is going to a place like Texas, this big football school, is rough.
Right.
We're going to a place like Marquette in the Big East. The Big East has always been all about basketball.
Right.
It's always been about basketball. They went through that mistake period where they were trying to bring in football schools like Miami and all that. But that's what made the Big East great, that it was all about basketball. So, you know, hopefully that will work out for Shaq. I mean, it's worked out. He's always been able to stay one step ahead of the posse. So I think that's a good move. A couple of other changes, Jamal. I think Penn State got a black head coach.
Yeah, there are a few. So there are a few Power Five teams that brought on black coaches this season. So that's a positive. Like you said, Penn State, Micah Shrewsbury. He's a career assistant. Also NBA background. He was an assistant with the Celtics for a while, then Purdue most recently. Minnesota hired Ben Johnson, a brother. He's a career assistant, most recently with Xavier. And Boston College hired Earl Grant, who was coaching at Charleston Southern, or the College of Charleston for 7 years. So, you know, three other guys, you know, get big time Power Five opportunities. So that, you know, like you said, they got to win, baby.
Got to win. Speaking of which, I guess it's time for as we close in the March time, probably by the time we do another podcast, we'll be calling the Final Four. Who's going to be in the Final Four? Well, let's say the Final Four of men and women.
So, I mean, my Final Four, I'll tell you my original Final Four, I only got two left. I had Illinois, who got upset. I had Texas. We already talked about what happened to poor Shaka. So Gonzaga and Baylor are still alive. That was going to be my championship game. As of now, I'm going to take Michigan to beat either Alabama or UCLA, whatever happens there tonight. So I like Michigan as my third. And on the other side, I'm going to go Kelvin Sampson in Houston, man. You know, I think it looks like it's his time, you know, to get to the Final Four, rugged, rough team. You know, defensive minded. They're gonna play Oregon State, who's come out of nowhere to get to the Elite Eight. So, I think it's Kelvin Sampson's time. So I'm gonna go with Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and Houston in the Final Four.
Well, I'm going with Michigan and Houston, mm-hmm. coaches of color.
Yep.
You know. I'd like to see Gonzaga get upset.
Well, who do they play? They play
the bracket.
Oh, either you. They're going to play either USC or Oregon. That's tonight.
Well, it's hard to cheer for USC. Have you guys been watching this scandal? It's on Netflix, but it's called
the college scandal thing.
Yeah, well, the college scandal thing.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
Oh, it's running now.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, like everybody should watch it. After you watch that, you look, how could anybody at USC still have a job?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, how could anybody at USC still have a job? You know,
it was UCLA too, right? Stanford was involved. Yeah.
Oh my God, and how wow. people got us. Oh my goodness. And again, I forgot when I was talking about the disparity. But just how these people are like getting into the Ivy League schools and the donations and saying, well, you know, you give them, $500,000, that doesn't even get you in the door.
Yeah.
It's like wild. Millions. And I mean, I don't know, this whole year has just been about that. And I read a book about Ivy's, I wish I had the name of it, but it's about how these universities were all built on slave labor.
Slave labor.
The slave economy.
Right.
And another book, I wish I had them at hand, maybe I should get them. This is courtesy of George Raveling. He's got the reading list, but about, but that one in particular, you know, but looking at that documentary, I'm saying I was going to say I want USC, but I cannot promote USC. So I guess it's Gonzaga. They'll, you know.
I'm sure slave labor built Gonzaga too, you know, all of them.
All of them, probably. Well, we're in the Pacific Northwest.
and then slave labor continues to make them money.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's just called amateurs.
Right. You
know? Right.
But it's just right. The whole idea of somebody's got to be exploited. But anyway, so yeah, so I want two coaches of color. I'll call Sampson a brother at yep. Houston. And they're playing well. And Juwan Howard and then whomever. and then whoever, is there any way that Houston could play Michigan?
Yeah, in the final, it'd have to be a final.
That would make motherfuckers sing, you know.
And then, hey, it's possible.
Make it all worthwhile.
Those two are very good teams. That could happen.
Oh my God! Then yeah, you know, yeah. Then I wanted to go tell Sampson's backstory about his grandfather.
Right.
You know, lumped in, you know, chased off the Ku Klux Klan.
His grandfather.
Yeah, his grandfather fought to get rid of it. I wonder if CBS is going to tell that story, you know.
Man, that's great. That's great. I hope that they do profile him and that comes out. That would be fantastic, man.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have to fight Jamal to get to do that story. So you're going to see that story in The Undefeated.
That's you, Bill. That's all you.
I'll pitch it. And then, well, no, we already assigned that to Jamal. The Negro didn't even know.
That was in my pitch. Hey, Bill texted me this great information.
No, I told Bill.
So you have to put that in the article, man.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that.
Oh man!
So what about you, Steve? What is my?
You know, I have Gonzaga and Baylor in the final,
yep.
And one cat to watch, and this is actually I'm kind of hoping for that because I think that there's a special player to watch, and he's on Baylor. Davion, I'm not Donovan Mitchell.
Right.
Man, this cat, if anybody can really disrupt Gonzaga, it's this guy. This wow. guy is a tenacious, hellacious defensive player. I mean, on both ends of the court, man, he just wreaks havoc. And I think he's probably the best defensive player in the country. Wow. You know, watching Gonzaga, they play fast on both ends, and they just wear their opponents down. You know, so yeah, they're a talented team, but they wear their opponents down. That's what they did today with Creighton. I mean, I watched the center for Creighton, man. This cat was out of gas like around at the 5 minute mark of the first half. He was gone, man.
Right.
So, but watch Davion Mitchell, man, because I think if they meet in the final, he's going to really give them hell.
I want to take a brief moment to talk about our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity. And it also protects sellers with a verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers for $100 or more, making it free to sell or flip your collection. So go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection.
What about the women, Jamal? I put you on the spot since you...
Final four, you know, I'm going to go with UConn, Stanford, South Carolina, of course. Yeah. And I'm going to throw Arizona. You know, we'll have two women of color, hopefully, in the final four on that side, too. That would be great. But the, all four of those teams playing, they would have... I think they would meet... no, I don't think so. I think UConn... UConn would meet Arizona, and then South Carolina would meet Stanford. So I think they could play. I think Arizona, South Carolina could be a championship game.
Okay. So my women's final four, forget the final four. I want the championship game with Arizona and South Carolina.
All right.
Right. All so on one night we'd have South Carolina and Arizona playing for the women, and then we'd have Michigan playing Houston for the men. That would be a perfect way in, like, you know, the winter and winter sports with a black triumph.
Right. And then of course, hopefully that would create a domino effect, because, you know, you've said this and you hear it from the coaches themselves. They think the key to seeing more of this is the success that these coaches have. You know, unfortunately, a lot of white people, there has to be right in their face in order for them to realize that there are other options out there to be coaches, and success is something that they can't ignore. So, mm-hmm. You know, having championship games like that would be helpful to the profession in the future.
Yeah, man, that would be great. That'd be great, because you can't ignore it. And like on a back-to-back day, it'll be Saturday and Sunday. I mean, Sunday and Monday.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. So
let's pull for that. Where we go, man? I mean, I know we talked briefly about Deshaun Watson. What are the updates, Jamal? And what do you – have you guys changed your thinking? And I know we're waiting for this to sort of unfold, but it continues to be a remarkable story, just in terms of somebody who a month ago had, you know – had the NFL and the Houston Texans on the run, you know, and now all of a sudden it's changed. Have you guys changed your perspective on it? Do you have any thoughts on the Watson situation as we wrap up?
Well, I appreciated your article, because that's an angle where I mean, you know, you talk, you know, you gave credence to all sides, and we don't know what we don't have any idea really what the facts are at this point. So I'm also waiting to see what the facts are and how they come up. But I'm glad you mentioned the elephant in the room, which no media person I've seen mention it, which is about it just sounds fishy. I mean, he had all this leverage. You know, he's asking to be traded. Texans don't want to trade him. We're all talking about how much leverage he has. And then all of a sudden, he has 25 women come out saying that, he sexually abused, assaulted them, you know, through massage parlors and this kind of thing. And, yeah, like I said, I want to wait for the evidence to see, you know, what actually happened. But the story in and of itself just sounds crazy. Like, all these people just come out of nowhere, you know, to a guy we thought was an upstanding citizen, you know, prior to demanding a trade. So, you know, I just got to wait and see, because it just doesn't make sense the way it is now.
Yeah,
I agree wholeheartedly, man. I think it's just another brand of Texas justice, you know, a Texas injustice. Yeah, it smells funny. It just smells funny. I mean, come on. There's been no police reports before now. Nobody reported anything. Are you kidding me? I mean, look, the women have the right to be heard. So I want to say that off the bat. They have the right to be heard. And we'll hear, you know, everything from both sides. But it just looks very fishy. And given that it's in Texas, I mean, it could be anywhere in the United States. But in Texas particularly, we know how stuff works in Texas, man. So it just seems very suspect. Until we get facts that are verified otherwise, I'm not buying into it.
It is, I don't know, Jamal, you're an attorney, but it's also weird that it's just one attorney handling all these cases. Normally you think you'd have other attorneys, you know, but right. They're all going to this one guy, you know.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of time, I mean, well, remember when it first came out that there was a, you know, a few women making these claims against him, Watson did respond, right, on social media and said, you know, I haven't seen the complaint yet, but I'm telling you, I've always respected women. And he mentioned that the attorney had reached out to him, you know, for some sort of settlement beforehand, before making stuff public. So that, you know, that's a little shaky in terms of an attorney's behavior. You're right. A lot of these cases, you know, an attorney will have one person and he's trying to strengthen his case. So he's, you know, he's out there looking for others who have similar stories. So, you know, those, you know, if like, you know, I just have to wait and see those, you know, for all I know, all those stories could be true, right. but I do feel like, you know, just the, when you look at everything in context, it's just very fishy.
Yeah. So, you know, who knows, maybe we'll see Deshaun Watson with Saskatchewan next year.
Right. I thought
about that. No riders. Yeah. We can't end the broadcast, for acknowledging the passing of the great Elgin Hangtime Baylor, somebody who was just a great, one-on-one athlete, never won a title with the Lakers. I think they won a year after he retired. And a lot of people only know him for his tenure as an executive with the Clippers. But, you know, I just wanted to acknowledge his career, his life, his contribution to the NBA. I did see him play. Mm-hmm. I saw him play. I grew up in Chicago. And I just remember him, one particular play where he just took Wilt Chamberlain to the hoop when Wilt was playing with the Philadelphia Warriors. Mm-hmm. And Elgin had just such great body control. That's why they called him Hang Time. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was just a great one-on-one player. And I think he played for the College of Idaho. Something like that. And a guy named R.C. Owens told me about him, because apparently there was a little, I'm not quite sure about, but a lot of his brothers ended up going to, like, for some reason, College of Idaho, or you took some of these out west kind of schools, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, just want to acknowledge Elgin, and man, just what a great life, just a great career. And, you know, God bless him, God bless his family.
I never saw him play, obviously. So I remember him more as an executive with, you know, and, you know, with the Clippers and with Sterling. Mm-hmm. But when you look back, like, what's his legacy to you, Bill? How do you, when you look back on him as a player and, you know, and an executive, like,
the executive, unfortunately, that probably was not his shining hour.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's how a lot of people are going to remember him, is this black guy who probably was a little too silent, one of the most racist owners, one of those bigoted owners in the NBA. And Elgin was just kind of there. Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of people, you know, who didn't know his playing career, know him by that, which I think is a lesson too. Because I think that, you know, a lot of guys were playing, well, how are you going to be remembered by a couple of generations from now when people never knew you as a player? They just know sort of your actions, you know, of what you did or did not do. You know, I think Jordan, people kind of remember, a certain generation remembers him as just being this neutral athlete, you know, who's now, you know, owns a team and all that. But when they dig into his activism, he was a counter opposite of activism. So I think that, you know, what you do on your career is fine, but what you do outside of that is right. Important too, because that's going to have the longer life. What do you do outside the numbers? You know, what do you do for your people? You know, what do you do to advance the cause of, you know, social justice? You know, did you participate? Did you just sort of go along to get along? You know, and, you know, that there's a possibility that Elgin could be judged somewhat harshly in that respect. Because as a player, he was a great player. But and that's important. But I don't know if, you know, the numbers fade. Eventually, somebody's going to break your records. Somebody's going to, you know, win more championships. Somebody's going to do more stuff, you know. But it's what other stuff did you do, you know? So, you know, that's what I'll say about that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I am watching, you know, basketball.
Uh-oh.
You know, I mean, what, you know, exploitation, exploitation at all, you know.
Right.
What can I say?
Well, as I told, you know, I have friends of mine tried to get on me for watching college basketball and they're big time NBA fans. And I said, hey, man, the pros are slaves too, you know?
Well, as Rahsaan says, volunteer slavery.
Right.
I'll do it. I'll do it. Take me. Take me. I'll go.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, enjoy the rest of the tournament. Hopefully we'll have a Black Sunday and Monday for the championship game. Because we could actually do that in two segments.
Right.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, listen, thanks again, everybody, for listening. The great Jamal Murphy, thank you. Steve Wilson, thank you. To our millions of listeners, you know, hang in there. Don't equate the fact that summertime is coming with being, you know, irresponsible, because you just don't know what this thing is. You know,
might be too late. Might be too late.
I know. I know, be in New York in the summertime and people just saying, fuck it, you know. So, but be careful, everybody.
Get those vaccines.
Get the vaccines. I think everybody on this call, right? Maul, yeah. You got close your shots?
Yeah, I've had one. I get my second one in a couple weeks.
Oh, you haven't got your second one yet. What about you, Steve? You got both your shots?
I got the first one. Same thing. A couple of weeks, I get the second one.
Oh, wow. I'm the only fully vaccinated person here.
That's right, Bill. Yeah. You can go to the bar. Oh, hey, why aren't you in South Beach?
I know. Let me, oh boy! All right, on my way. She's not me, brother.
Yeah. See, even when right. fully vaccinated, you ain't going there.
Because who knows what that means?
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Because just because I'm vaccinated doesn't mean you're vaccinated.
I might stay out of Florida for the next 5 years. You know?
Ever. Right. Maybe that's why. Well, I don't know. That could be the only thing. Well, anyway, that's another story. They're talking about Deshaun going down to Florida.
Oh, man.
I'm sure there'll be a Florida a variant showing up soon.
Seriously.
Oh, God, that's like,
a Florida woo! Variant. Yeah, nothing. Florida. Nothing can stop it.
All right, y'all. Listen, stay safe. Everybody, be careful. Be good. Have fun. God bless.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.